This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. It's The Fan Early Morning Show. It's The Wake Up Show. The Wake Up Show presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. You can apply online at 84lumber.com. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis, and it is The Fan Early Morning Show here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. After a rough weekend, was it a rough weekend? Pitt lost to WVU. That hurts. The Pirates had the opportunity to win the series against the New York Yankees and didn't do it. A crucial error by the middle infield on Friday hurt them. Saturday was a bit of a back-and-forth game until the Yankees took over and pulled away 6-3. And then yesterday the Pirates won 3-2 to avoid getting swept before they move into a divisional game against the Cubs tomorrow, and a three-game series at that. You know, the first Pirate game I went to of the season was on Saturday night. I watched the Pirates and Yankees play when the Pirates lost 6-3. And I will say this, that's for the first game I've been to in person, because I work a lot of games here as well when I'm not... You know, so I can't really go to games as often, but I like to make it out once a year to PNC Park. I've kind of dedicated myself to that. I say if I can make it to one, at least one game a year, not limited to, but if I can make it to at least one game a year, I'll be satisfied. And this was the first time I experienced the pitch clock rules as well. Like, I saw the clocks in the stadium, and it was definitely a more digestible game. And I went to go get food, too, and I missed an entire inning, which is odd, you know. So, I can say full testament now that going to a baseball game, and it was a 2.5-hour game on Saturday, so I can now officially attest to the fact, you know, watching it on TV and, you know, experiencing covering the games, it's felt shorter, but then going to the game in the stadium, like, the clocks are not intrusive, it just paces the pitchers. So, I know I've beaten this point enough, I think, but just wanted to mention it again. Now, the rules of baseball, I think, have gotten better, and I think that rule in particular about having a pitch clock and regulating pitchers is a good thing. And after being in a game in person, I doubled down on that point. But I know you guys don't want to talk about the Pirates this morning, at least I don't think. If you do, call in 412-928-9370. I'll field your calls on the Pirates. But I know the big storyline of the weekend is Pitt lost a backyard brawl to WVU, and there's many, many questions that fans are asking that I've seen. And this morning I want to focus on the quarterback who's been starting these three games that Pitt's played in so far. That's Phil Jurkovec. It's really odd because you think that, you know, you bring a guy in and you bring a guy in that's from Pittsburgh, that's from the WPIAL, right? A local guy who transferred between colleges, now in Pitt, you know, an older, more experienced college player, you know, again, playing the quarterback position, arguably the most important position on the field, no less. And you have high expectations of the guy, right? You know, he comes in and he wants to help the hometown college team. And I love that. And I think many fans loved that. And Pitt won its first game of the year. So, cool. It was fun. But then they turn around and they play Cincinnati in the second week of the college football season. And they struggle. They made a comeback, but they struggle. And Phil Dracovic does not like the boos. And he made that clear. And that was a huge story. And that's something that I question. That's something that many of us question why I say that. Okay, but, you know, maybe it was a blip. It was a mistake. He's just motivated. He's passionate. Let's move forward. Then we get to WVU, the game against WVU. And Dracovic continues to not play well, you could say. And not only that, but the body language that he has is just not inspiring, at least from what I saw. So he's not playing well by the stats. And you look at him, and he's also just looking demoralized on the field. He's looking like he, maybe not that he doesn't care. It kind of looked like it, but it's also just his frustration took over after enough time. His frustration took over, and he just looked demoralized. He looked like there was no chance for them to come back and win. And the passes he's throwing, I mean, Bill Hillgrove described it on the radio. He's just like, it looked like he threw it to the other team. He just lobbed it up there, and it was 12 yards away from the nearest receiver. And I went back and watched some of the highlights of the game, too, and I watched some of those interceptions on highlight reels, and yeah, they were not great passes. So he's not passing well. He's throwing interceptions. His numbers aren't great. He looks demoralized. And then after the game, Phil Dracovic, not available to speak to the media. Not available to speak publicly. After his comments from the game against Cincinnati, which is, every game on the schedule is important, but the magnitude of the backyard brawl is what it is, and we all know that. And he puts out that performance following the loss to Cincinnati, and he was not available to speak post-game. Now, Noah Hiles reported that. I saw that first from him. Noah Hiles from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette posted on X that Dracovic was not available to speak. He then later followed that tweet with another one that said that it's not Dracovic that decides if he is or isn't going to speak. It's the head of communications and Pat Narduzzi that can decide whether he does or not. And maybe the head of communications says, hey, this will all blow over. So, especially if you guys start winning during the season. So maybe it's not worth it to send him out there because there's no way that he can win in this situation. There's no way that Dracovic can say anything that's going to please anybody in this moment, and it might actually harm him himself if he says some nonsense again, like you're pathetic if you boo and you're a grown man. I don't think it's a great look, though. And I'll explain why in a little bit, but I see some callers on the line now, so I want to get their thoughts on, I don't know, Pitt Pirates Steelers playing tonight. So let's start with this caller. Good morning. What's your name?
Bob from North Versailles. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. What's on your mind?
I'll just cut right to the chase. I've been an assistant coach at the high school level and the college level for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And with the name, image, likeness now going on in the NCAA sports, Phil Dracovic is a perfect example of someone failing. When you bring somebody in that turns you down twice, and now he's coming in the third time. It's a hard sell in the locker room to keep this guy together after these last two performances. And I think Pitts right now is very fragile in that locker room on how they're going to support Phil Djokovic. And this is going to be a very tough week for him, because if they lose this week, they're in deep trouble the rest of the season.
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, they'd be 1-3. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Bob. Yeah, all points taken there. I still think name, image, likeness for college athletes is a good thing, because there are some horror stories about like players being penalized for taking simple, like little things. But in Phil Djokovic's case, I mean, it doesn't look great what's been going on. And I mean, yeah, he doesn't. I agree with those points. It's a tough situation, with how Djokovic is handling his feelings and the direction Pitt's going in. I'll get to some of Narduzzi's comments later as well. And because Narduzzi was asked after the game what he was going to do at quarterback, or if there was any consideration of making a change in game, or if there's consideration of making a change moving forward, because they are 1-2 right now. Like, your season hangs in the balance at this point. Two losses is the most you can afford if you're interested in getting to one of those top tier bowl games. You know, and if you start 1-3, that doesn't really leave wiggle room for even making it that far, because then you got to win out, and that's difficult. So it's a poor situation right now. It's a very controversial situation, what's going on with Djokovic, and you know, how everything is being handled. Not that they shouldn't trust him either. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that, but it doesn't look like, based on what I've observed, you know, watching and hearing him speak, that he's handling his frustration in a way that's best for the team. Roland from Castle Shannon on the line. Good morning, Roland.
Hey, Rick. Great show. I just woke up, so I'm a little groggy, but just woke up.
Okay, what's on your mind, Roland?
Okay. The word jerk. There was a movie by Steve Martin called The Jerk, where he made glasses and made you look cross-eyed. That's what Phil Djokovic, not Djokovic. I'm going to do the Crowley pronunciation. Phil Djokovic had me looking cross-eyed, wondering how this kid can't throw a football, how he can't have an interview, how he criticizes people for booing him. Booing him. He don't want to see me, I can tell you this. As a diehard Pitt and a diehard Steeler, Phil Djokovic. The other jerk stuff, remember George Costanza? Can't stand it,
Well, Roland, I had to let you go there. A little too far with some of the language. But, yeah, thank you for the call. Yeah, I think I understand the frustration. I do. And I think that you can call and you can vent about it, because, you know, there are some reasonable points made in there as well. Now, I don't know who made the decision for him to not speak. I will say that. Like, I can't confirm who made that decision specifically. Him and Narduzzi could have talked about it, and he could have said no, and then Narduzzi said, nope, he's not going to speak. Maybe he wanted to speak, and the head of communications said, nah, this isn't a great look for, you know, our public relations, so you're not going to speak. All of those are reasonable possibilities, so I cannot definitively, you know, sit here and talk to you and say that that he didn't want to speak, because that wouldn't be factually accurate. There are many scenarios in which he didn't speak, and it wasn't because he didn't want to. So I get the frustration, though, Roland, and I get the frustration from many of you out there, and I'm frustrated as well, because it's just the way that this is all looking. Just, again, his emotions, not great. The way he's handling his emotions, going into that press conference after the Cincinnati game and saying, you know, fans are pathetic if you're groaning and you're booing. Like, that's just something you don't say, because the fans are around you to support you, and when you perform poorly, they're going to give you the feedback that says, hey, we don't accept this, so do better. Maybe you think that booze are threatening and evil, and that's fine. But also, if you look at it from that perspective, though, okay, fans boo to give feedback to say, hey, we don't accept this, we expect more, and the player can perform better. Or if not, the player kind of, you know, withers away. I hope Djurkovic doesn't wither away. But just the way he's looked so far after losing and facing adversity, it doesn't look like he's handling it the best way. Let's take a few more callers before the break here. We got one here. What's your name?
My name's Alex. How are you, Nick?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm on my way actually down to WVU today for a day of work. Not too fun. A guy from Pittsburgh going to have to listen to all that today.
Oh, yeah. Well, Crowley's going to be insufferable, I'm sure. So,
but my question is the Steelers. After watching a team in the L.A. Rams that I didn't think was that good give San Francisco a game, I was worried already last week that the Browns were going to come in here and blow us out or just dominate us. We didn't look good last week, and, you know, if this game goes sideways, you know, we were on a big hype train all year, and Kenny and Pickens, and I love Pickens and everything, but it's just like, I don't know. I'm really nervous for tonight and just curious, you know, what your thoughts are heading into tonight.
All right, well, thank you for the call, Alex. I appreciate it. My thoughts? I think it's an important game. There's nothing that anybody else has said that I don't agree with. I think the Steelers have kind of the odds on their side where, you know, they haven't lost a Monday Night Football game in a while. They're playing the Browns. Sorry, let me emphasize. They haven't lost a Monday Night Football game since 1991. At home, I should say. They haven't lost a home Monday Night Football game since 1991. So that streak that may hold meaning to you or may not, that streak is still alive. So they've got that going for them. They're playing the Cleveland Browns at home on Monday Night Football. I think that just history might have written this one already, although that might be incentive for the Browns to go out there and actually play well and end that streak and prove that they're legit. Either way, though, I think that the Steelers are under pressure to the point where if they lose this game, they start 0-2, and especially if the offense looks poor, then yeah, it wouldn't be good for the Steelers, a good look for them at all. I think that if the offense improves, though, and they don't panic, they need to play like they're not under pressure, though, I guess. Maybe is one sense, like, don't play scared, like, don't be afraid to take risks, because if they play timid too, they usually don't play well. So there's that. So I think that if they play to take some risks and they play to win, and the offense in particular as well, they play to win and they don't play to not lose, if that makes sense, then they'll be fine for sure. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show. I got some other callers on the line, but I have to take a break. So if you want to stay on the line and you want to talk about the Pitt game from Saturday, the Steeler game coming up tonight, you're welcome to do that at 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on X at Callis underscore 33. That's C-A-L-L-A-S underscore 33. And if you want to call and you want to talk about any of it, you're welcome to here on 93.7 The Fan. This is The Fan Early Morning Show. I'll be right back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer is here. No, it's not. It's September, so it's truck month. We've reached the end of summer. Come check out half-ton and three-quarter-ton Silverados. You can also shop online at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 73, low of 52. Going to be mostly clear throughout the day, and then tomorrow, high of 73, low of 52 again with partly cloudy skies expected. That's Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is the Fan Early Morning Show, talking Pitt football, talking Steelers. If you want to throw the Pirates in there as well, you're welcome to. We're talking all things sports. I got about 8 minutes left to take your calls and or respond to your X posts. But right now, let's take a call. Good morning. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, good morning, Nicholas. This is Paul.
Hi, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, going back to the booing is pathetic line, when you guys started talking about it, I hadn't heard it ahead of time. So I did a quick internet search, and I found that when Djurkovic left Notre Dame, he made statements about Brian Kelly lied to him, and when he left BC, he made other statements. I don't remember what those ones were. And to put it as nicely as I possibly can, because I don't know the kid, it sounds a little bit like an excuse maker type head case type person that, you know, maybe these coaches see the size and the skill the kid has, but he could be kind of like a Ryan Leaf where his head just isn't there. I don't know. It's just a comment. Let people think about it.
Sure, Paul. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Now, Brian Kelly is his own animal, though. And I believe Brian Kelly's the one that went down south to one of those schools in the south and started talking with a southern accent, right? That's where he is now. And he's like, well, I'm here with my family, and all those comments, right? So if Djurkovic said that Brian Kelly lied to him, I wouldn't put it past Brian Kelly necessarily, just by the way, you know, he has projected his character over time. You know, I wouldn't be so quick to you know, blame Djurkovic for making a comment like that if he made such an allegation. I mean, it's not founded by any evidence, but like Brian Kelly's out there a little bit. So, you know, if Djurkovic says that, I'm not going to just dismiss that right away. You know, but I hear you. I mean, just some of the way he's publicly handled himself, again, it's just, it has been odd, not great. It's just not a great look. I mean, again, it doesn't mean he's a bad player. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. And I don't want to, you know, sit up here either. So I'm glad that Paul said that. You know, I don't think Djurkovic's a bad person. And again, the hype that, you know, he's from a WPIL school and he's come to Pitt, you know, in his later college career, and he wants to play quarterback and, you know, hopefully help this team win and then help his own stock if he wants to move on playing football in the future, perhaps in the NFL or professionally, right? Like, we should want him to do well. And we definitely I don't want him to fail. But just the way he's conducted himself and the perception, you know, based on those comments after Cincinnati and just some of his body language that you notice after, you know, or during a loss in a game that means a lot to Pitt fans. It's just, it's less than inspiring. We'll take another call, 412-928-9370. Good morning. What's your name?
Hey, this is Ted.
Ted.
Hey, real quick about Djurkovic, I feel sorry for the kid. He's emotionally fragile. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't start him. I wouldn't. I let him sit this game out. I mean, you can't go in there and not take ownership of your play and be a turnover machine. You just can't.
And if he can't face the music, he cannot be the leader of Pitt. You got to start somebody else. One game won't hurt him. You sit him down because the pressure is so great on Pitt in this program that if he fails, it's over. So I wouldn't take the chance. Bench him for this game. Start somebody else.
Ted, I appreciate your call and your insight. Thank you. See, I'm at a crossroads about that, necessarily benching him. If you think he's emotionally fragile, all right. I mean, you know, there's some evidence that may lead you that way. I get that. Again, I can't necessarily, you know, sit here and say with confidence that Djurkovic did not want to speak, because that's not factually accurate, especially understanding who gets to decide. I mean, the director of communications for Pitt could have said, hey, listen, I mean, tough loss, and there's no way to win here. Like, he could have gone out there and tried to talk, and it would have just made him look worse. Maybe you respected him more for at least, you know, trying to speak to people, but maybe, you know, he wasn't in the right place. Maybe the director of communications and Narduzzi thought, hey, we don't want him to speak because this isn't, you know, a great look, and there's no way to win here. There's no way to win with a press conference. The team could turn it around, theoretically, too, in the future. And if Pitt loses next week and Djurkovic still doesn't speak, then there's a problem, because at that point you're at 3 losses, 4 games into the season, and the season's going downhill. I want to hear from the guy who played quarterback. But, you know, this game, with its magnitude, really there was little way that Djurkovic could have won speaking to the media. And maybe that's what the director of communications or Narduzzi thought, and they all got together and said, hey, this isn't the right time, this isn't the right atmosphere, we need to just move on from this game because there's no way to win. Now, personally, I would have had a little more respect for him had he gone out there and just kind of taken ownership for his play and explained his body language and, you know, if he would have expressed his own intentions on moving forward and playing better, which, yeah, I mean, that would have been great. But maybe they didn't want to take that risk, as, you know, just internally as the team, because it wasn't guaranteed that would have made anything better. And maybe he wasn't in the right headspace. Now, if you think that he's not fit to lead because of that, I mean, to your opinion is your own. I'm not going to go that far. And I also understand, because Narduzzi talked about, too, that he's not just going to pull the plug on Djurkovic right away. And I understand that as well, and I don't think that they should. I think that they should, you know, have some faith in him and continue to put him in there and, you know, see if he can bounce back. Now, if you have a 3-loss season after 4 games, I would, you know, consider making the decision then. But I understand his perspective as well, which is okay. You know, we got to trust our guys, because if we don't put faith in anybody, and we don't trust, you know, anybody extensively, and we just keep plugging and playing, that doesn't inspire confidence in the players at that point, and it can create more chaos than help. I think Djurkovic has the ability to play better and to lead this Pitt team to wins, but just right now, the way his mindset seems, might be holding him back. And I just don't know where some of those passes landed either, that were just, you know, incredibly far away from receivers. Those interceptions he's thrown were not close. And that's something that obviously should be worked on, but it's, you know, it's just, how do you fix something that egregious? Like, why is that happening? And I think that's why we wanted him to speak, too, because we wanted answers to that. We wanted his perspective on, you know, why were those passes so awry? Was it your responsibility, or was it the offensive lines? I mean, there's just so many questions, and we didn't get answers. And I understand that as fans, we want answers. But whether it was Djurkovic or Narduzzi or the director of communications, either way, at least one of those three made the decision and said, hey, this isn't a good idea. And we all have to live with that right now. But next week is going to be the make or break for Pitt, I'm sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.